Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
All right, we start off with Bob.
What about Bob?
The fish with a human face. Now, this is out of Leeds in the UK. Bob is a four-year-old koi, and he's... It's interesting. All right, let me just hit play on this, and I want you guys to... Because, look, I found this when I was in my spaceship, and I couldn't stop watching this video, surprisingly.
So we have a four-year-old koi fish we're going
to
look at.
I just want to see if it's as interesting to you guys as it is to me that he has a human face. Okay, so let me turn this around. You guys can see the video, right? It is. It's just kind of weird when he comes across, right? Is it just me?
He's got the Hitler mustache. Look at that.
If you guys want to see it, at JCon Sports, that's the place to go.
That's weird.
The video. It is. What do you think, Rob? Like, is that kind of, like when you would look at it, you'd have to take a double take, like going, is that a person in the water? Like, what is that? It's just insane looking.
Wow.
So Bob has now become kind of a local celebrity in the UK as more and more people want to see him now. But yeah, Bob's owner, Malcolm 48, gushed that his prize pet was the most friendly fish in the shop, adding that the unique color pattern wasn't there at first, but it gradually grew in over time to where he has a human face, basically.
It really does look like a human features.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Pretty cool. All right, let's get to this Texas woman. She set a world record for donating almost 7 gallons of, any idea?
Breast milk. Yeah, that's the thing.
Like, how leaky are your teats, right? I can say that?
Yeah, you can say that. Yeah.
It's a cow. I mean, 700 gallons? Her name's Alice or Elise Ogletree. She set the world record for most amount of breast milk donated by a single person.
700 gallons.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know if people realize how much are you just pumping nonstop? It's like a 12-year-old boy when he finds out he can play with it. She's just pumping nonstop.
Well, think about it. Women pump. They fill up a little, they work hard to fill up a little, cylinder. Like, wow.
You ever heard the stand-up comedian that was doing the bit about his wife that her ducks got, ducks, but like, I guess the milk got clogged and it was so much pain because they couldn't get it out. So she essentially asked her husband to help her. And he's like, really? They got all excited about it. I don't know. Like, we're getting ready to get into weird sexual fetishes. But
I hope that's one of them.
It's not.
These
are worse. She said, I have a big heart, but at the end of the day, I'm not made of money and I can't give away money to good causes over and over because I have a family to support. But donating milk was a way that I could help. I mean, look, it's weird to hear what it is and how much. It's very admirable. Like, I know there are, different situations where this is going to need it. There's plenty of bodybuilders out there that need to drink your breast milk. No, I mean, there's plenty. That is a thing that we've done this before where bodybuilders are drinking breast milk.
They do anything for an edge, huh?
Yeah.
You were buying that Cambodian breast milk for a while.
Yeah, it was delicious. Yeah. Like, why wouldn't you? All right, let's get to sexual perversion. And I am giving you guys the heads up. We're going to get into some weird stuff here. I'm a sexual perversion expert. These are the weirdest fetishes I've ever seen. So first off, I'm probably going to mispronounce a lot of these things, but these are versions of paraphilia. And paraphilia is typically accompanied by intense sexual arousal to unconventional or non-sexual stimuli, such as someone that gets turned on by enemas or statues.
Statues?
Someone that likes teeth. And I've even seen this one. Guy goes on the Howard Stern show all the time. Vomit, emetophilia. Yeah, good luck finding someone that's into that with you, buddy. But those aren't the ones this guy lists. The top five most bizarre fetishes.
Those aren't top five.
No. Variophilia. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing that right. You guys may remember Armie Hammer talking about eating a girl's skin and cannibalistic fantasies. I know this is something you're not into, Ed.
No.
Call Me By Your Name star debased his proclivities as in pale in comparison to what a German guy did where he was really into this. And I just want to read this to you. His name's Muse. He posted around 60 online advertisements seeking someone who would agree to be eaten before. Not Ed. No. Be eaten before Bern Jürgen Brandes in March 2002. He allowed Muse to bite off the tip of his penis so the two of them could eat the flesh together.
Before
he stabbed him to death. Yeah.
So you're agreeing to be murdered.
Well, that's not what he didn't think that last part was happening.
Oh, that was he didn't read it.
I guess he didn't want anybody to know.
So you got to read what you sign.
Yeah. Well, anyway, He signed that over.
Burrito's so delicious. That's why. You got to read that stuff, man.
How about a proctophilia? This is, they had one of the first cases on study here recently. A 22-year-old American from Illinois recalled his crush on his girl who farted. This blew my mind. I knew by simple biology that girls farted, but hearing the girl that I had been fawning over was capable of such a thing sparked a strange interest in me. This is a guy that says, honey, you're not ruining the fantasy when you let one loose in bed.
Oh, not at all.
This is a guy that's into being farted on, fart in a room, hearing farts, smelling farts. Yeah. Rob, I mean, if you're ever, like, where's this guy live? Illinois?
If you said Locust Point, that was over.
All right, let's get to the next one here. A potomphilia, both real and imagined amputations are involved in this fetish. They need only to fantasize about being amputated or engaging in sex with someone who is. A few, however, have gone so far as to attempt to trick surgeons into cutting off a limb because they're into it. This might seem like a type of masochism, but case studies suggested there's no erotization of pain, only the healed amputated stump. Ed, have you ever slept with someone that was an amputee? Anyone? Anyone here? You have, haven't you? You six.
Well, it wasn't quite like that. She had a prosthetic arm.
Oh, I thought maybe her leg came off during coitus. You had a spinner.
She hung in there. Oh, pun intended. Right. Yeah.
Two.
But that doesn't count. That's not the same. Okay. Like as an amputee.
I got you.
You know, arm was amputated.
You're weird. Okay. How about this? Dacrophiliacs are turned on by tears. They found three subtypes of people who fetishize crying. Whether it's you crying, the curled lips, they're into this. That's such a scary one to me because there's got to be some deep-seated, awful stuff behind
what
that.
What are you doing to make them cry?
Yeah,
you're into tears.
Well, the definition, I looked up when you mentioned paraphilia, it's like it's non-human objects, it's statues. But mm-hmm. The second one is the suffering and humiliation of when someone was born. Suffering is not, I don't even have that borders on sexuality anymore.
I mean, how about the I mentioned the edemophilia, whatever, which one, I'm not even scrolling back to find it, but that's people who are into vomit, hearing people vomit, love being vomited on.
Dude, I saw a guy near Canton. I guess it was his girlfriend. She was literally throwing up, had too much to drink. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, he was...
taking pictures?
No, he had his hand...
Really?
Yes. I mean, he was... going to town while she was throwing up. So maybe he's that guy.
Can I tell you one of my favorite stories about someone who worked here that's no longer working here? He's no longer with us, by the way, so Ed should be able to figure out who this is as soon as I tell the story. Out at a bar one night, I see my buddy. He's out there, and there's this girl that's just unbelievably drunk, and he's been working that angle all night long. They're out on the dance floor. She throws up. I mean, all over the dance floor. She pops back up. He's so drunk, he goes, I accept you, and puts his tongue down her throat. And I went, oh, my God, that's just awful.
I think I know who it is.
Yes, you do. And then the last one was salerophilia, which is people that like grime or dirt or mold, any of this stuff where it's weird because there's one guy that says he watches Fear Factor just to see people go through horrific things, and that turns them on. That's your World of Stupid.
Thank you very much, Jeremy Carr. 410-583-1057, that's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. O's are reportedly in on Max Fried and Teoscar Hernandez. Let's see what kind of caliber talent they bring into the offseason. We'll talk about that at 7:45. But on the other side, is Lamar the clear MVP favorite after Jared Goff's 5-pick performance? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Lamar Jackson right now, by all accounts, guys, would you agree, is the leader in the clubhouse for the MVP award?
Far and away.
Yes.
Now, here's my take. And Joe and I had this conversation, I think, Sunday. Am I right, Joe? Yesterday. Okay. Now, if Lamar Jackson is off, we can fairly say the Ravens are going to lose him, right?
Yeah. Especially this year. I mean, if he's off, you need Derrick Henry to have some amazing-ass day because – I don't know if you guys have any confidence in this team to win a 20-17 game.
No, I haven't. If Josh Allen is off, chances are the Bills are going to lose, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
That's why, in my opinion, those are the only two MVP options because Jared Goff threw 5 interceptions and his team still won the game, which tells you how impactful he is to his team's success.
He had a win where he threw for 80 yards. They scored 50-some points.
Exactly. Yes. That to me tells you what his impact is on his team's success. If Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen, either of those guys, Jeremy, throw three interceptions, they're probably going to lose, let alone five. It's not even going to be a game.
Mm-hmm.
The Lions can win in spite of Goff. Ravens and the Bills cannot win in spite of their quarterbacks.
You know how many times in his career Lamar's thrown for five interceptions in a game?
I don't think
zero.
Yeah, I don't think ever.
And again, I'm not telling you Jared Goff's a bad player by any stretch, but like when we start to measure, and this is why I've always said I hate value, but like who's the most outstanding player, you can put Lamar's name on that every single season for what he's doing. And when you look at some of the other guys, and it's interesting this weekend because Lamar gets the Steelers, Josh Allen gets the Chiefs. So we got Bills in Kansas City this weekend, Ravens, Steelers, and a lot of other pretty decent games and some rivals going at it and teams that are vying for playoff spots. So for people that have been complaining about the league, maybe it starts to pick up now. But you know what sucks, though, about the AFC East and just talking about those two teams is that there's no other team that can catch the Bills right now. They might get to a point in Week 13 where they have the division locked up.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably true. It's just ended up being what was supposed to be a really good division. It's just been terrible. Terrible. I mean, it's not just, you know, you say you always is, oh, they're below 500. The next best team is 3-6. That's Miami. That's awful.
Yeah.
They're in second place.
I didn't realize that the Bills had lost those two games back-to-back, and they haven't, you know, outside of Kansas City stealing a win this weekend and finding a way to get a blocked field goal at the end of the game to prevail. The Bills have had that little win streak going and have one of the best records in the AFC. Could really help themselves out.
Again, we say this all the time, though. It's like bad teams find ways to lose. Good teams seem to find ways. The Chiefs did it. The Lions did it. Mm-hmm. They do. It's just the good teams find ways to win.
Yeah, and you know, you talk about two teams again, and who's having the best year in the AFC East? Allen. I mean, who's having the best year in the AFC North? Lamar, I mean, those are the guys to me that are the front runners for the MVP of the National Football League. If Pat Mahomes' name wasn't Pat Mahomes, would he even be considered?
No, not even close. And what's going to piss me off, I feel like if Lamar doesn't get it, I mean, if all things continue the way they are, he should be the MVP. It'll be one of those, it's not just give someone else a chance. That's not right.
Yeah.
Just not right. If you are, then you get it again.
Well, that's why I said numerous times when we look at giving or guys earning the MVP once they win it in a certain fashion, it's hard to take it away from them because it's almost a human element of voters. It's like, man, this guy again. Well, this guy's having a really, so you almost convince yourself that this guy's having a better season than the other guy when all the numbers tell you that's not the case.
Yeah.
And again, for all the people pushing for Josh Allen, he's having a really good season. I'd still rather have
Lamar. He's not having a Lamar season. Think about this. Josh Allen has 2,200 passing yards. Correct. Check me on that, please, Jeremy. 2,200 passing yards. You would think Lamar Jackson is not leading Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes in passing yards, Ed. But he is. He has 2,669 passing yards. Lamar Jackson doesn't have more passing touchdowns than Josh Allen and Pat Mahomes. But he does. He has 24 touchdown passes. Josh Allen has 4 interceptions. How great is that?
It's awesome.
Only 4 interceptions. That's awesome. Well, Lamar has 2.
Lamar's on pace to break his MVP touchdown record.
Yeah.
When he had 36 in 19 the first time he won it, he's got 24 already. I mean, he's going to shatter that.
Josh Allen has a passer rating, Jeremy Carnival, 100. Come on, dude. You can't knock that guy. Unless you have a passer rating of 123 like Lamar.
He's got a QBR of 70.3.
That's great. That's great.
You realize Lamar has one of 77.
Yeah.
He's thrown for 2,281 yards.
So he's 22, okay. And Lamar, 2,669. Those guys are having great years. They're having great years. Lamar's having a greater year. And Jared Goff, in my opinion, you should just stop talking about Jared Goff and MVP. He's not. Jared Goff is a good quarterback. He's a good quarterback. I like him. I'm glad he recovered from the reputation that he had in Los Angeles with the Rams. However, 80 yards passing, your team scores 50. 5 interceptions, the team wins on a nail-biter. You're not the most valuable player on your team, dude, let alone the league.
Yep.
Let's go to Baltimore and get Rashawn. What's up, Rashawn?
Hey, good morning, fellas.
Good morning.
Hey, man, I think Lamar definitely is going to be the MVP this year in the front runner because Jared Goff, come on, man. 5 interceptions. Like, this guy turned into Dak Prescott. You know that?
Don't get crazy.
Man.
Yeah.
No, I mean, but for real though. But
is Cooper Rush going to get comeback player of the year?
Yeah. Eventually, when you get more reps with the first team, and once Dallas put some curtains up in the stadium, yeah. You know, to block that sunlight, man. But anyway, yeah, I think Lamar definitely is going to get it. And I'm losing my train of thought. I can't think straight. I had a lot more to say.
I'm sorry, man. I stunted that
tough
when
weekend.
I asked you a question.
Yeah, no, it's all good. But yeah, Lamar is going to get it. As long as he don't get injured, nothing like that. As long as he stay healthy. That's what I was about to ask. If Lamar get it right, has anybody else won? I know somebody won 3 MVPs before, but how many quarterbacks have won like 3 MVPs or more in the league?
Yes.
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers won 4.
Yeah.
Peyton Manning won 3.
Yeah.
How many did Tom Brady win?
I think two or three.
Yeah. Hey, Rashawn.
Yeah.
If that's your question, how come you won't give us homework, man?
Peyton Manning won it five times.
He's talking on a smartphone. You can look that up.
I'm busy.
We're busy too. We're here to do your homework. What's wrong with you?
Well, y'all got all the computers in front of y'all.
You got a computer in front of you. You talking on it. Call your phone.
I got 5G internet. I got 3G. I'm still in the 3G network.
What you got, so. Cricket Wireless?
You got Boost.
Metro PCS.
You got Boost.
Metro.
Where you at?
By the way,
Rashawn, have a good one, man.
You guys ain't getting – Peyton has 5 MVPs.
Tom Brady has 3.
Yeah. It's not more than 5. And Peyton played 5 years in that
story. United has 3? United has 3, Favre has 3. So, yeah, it's happened a lot. It's happened often.
Most valuable,
not often, but it's happened before.
Most valuable predator, Brett Favre. Creep.
Man, you ain't gonna never hear me defend Brett Favre. I hated him when everybody loved him.
Dirty sumbitch.
Exactly.
You're out here ripping people off, sending pictures of your package, and then you're saying, put God first. Sure. Why don't you do that first, Chief?
Yeah.
410-583-1057 is the number. Was Micah Parsons out of line in his comments on Mike McCarthy? Someone from ESPN says it was unprofessional. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You know, that's above my pay grade about if Mike is coaching again next year. But, you know, all coaching aside, coaching, you know, Mike can leave and go wherever he wants, but guys, I kind of feel bad for his guys like Zach Martin and guys who might be on their last year or on their way out. That's who I wanted to hold the trophy for. You know, you want to win games and do great things with those type of legends who put in more time and work than Mike McCarthy ever did. So those are the kind of guys that I have so much sympathy and hurt for.
Okay, we don't like what he said.
I don't have an issue with it until the end there. Those guys worked harder than Mike McCarthy. I just think that was a little overstep, but like he's asked a question and he's like, man, I fight for the guys in the locker room. I get that.
He's paying homage to the players, the guys that he battles with. Not only the guy he battled with, a guy that not even on the defensive side of the football, to an offensive lineman. First of all, let's compartmentalize this. Was he wrong about Zach Martin?
No. You mean about him, what, being a great player and wanting to win for him?
And deserves to win more.
Yeah.
Okay, I judge a guy or come up with my opinion about a guy, how he treats his teammates, how he treats his family. Mike McCarthy is not family now. Zach Martin is. Zach Martin may have been a guy Ed embraced him when he was drafted and came to the locker room. He remembers Zach Martin. And because of that, he fights for Zach Martin. So I give him credit on that. He's not trying to be a douche. It's not being a me guy. He instantly goes to his teammate, Zach Martin, feeling bad for him.
Yeah, I just don't, I mean, okay. I heard what he said. I just don't think he necessarily had to, like, besmirch the coach, especially by saying they worked hard. NFL coaches work hard, man.
I didn't think he besmirched him until the end, though.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, did it.
I'm not arguing that. I'm just saying, like, when he said that guy works harder than Mike McCarthy ever did, I'm like,
yeah.
I was with you until you said that, because I feel like that's a little disrespectful.
Yeah, I just thought it was disrespectful, because it's a different thing, man. And one thing I'm getting tired of is football players comparing themselves to combat soldiers.
Yeah.
You're not going to war, so knock it off. Seriously, it's a rough game. You paid millions of dollars to play. It's a sport. Don't do that. But other than that, I just think, you know, it was him not really trying to, you know, insult the coach, but kind of did. We had these guys work harder than, really? I don't know about that. What, coaches put in more time than any player does.
Yeah, most coaches do, but what if he's telling you that Mike McCarthy does not, and that's the reason why they have three wins?
I don't think that's true.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I don't have to think or not. I mean, let me ask you this. How many of the Cowboys players have come out to defend Mike McCarthy after these comments? None.
Oh, sorry.
The media members keep commenting off of it. I'm waiting for someone in that locker room to say Michael Parsons was wrong. I'm waiting. Somebody come to the defense of your coach. No one has.
But there are times when you say something where you're not wrong, but you shouldn't say
it. I'm not saying he should have, but my question is, this is said about John Harbaugh, someone's coming out to defend Harbaugh. Mm-hmm. If this is said about Jim Harbaugh, if this is said about Mike Tomlin, those coaches are going to have somebody to come out in the locker room or former players.
Didn't Marlon Humphrey just do this for Zach Orr after all this stuff?
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Either current players or former players, somebody's going to step up. Mike McCarthy's been around long enough where some former players should step up for him. No one has stepped up for Mike McCarthy. Only media members are defending Mike McCarthy.
Whew. It's not a good look, man.
Not a good look at all. That's all I'm saying. We can sit here and tell what Michael Parsons should have said or should not have said, but where's the defense of Mike McCarthy? I don't hear crickets.
I think it's a little different when a player criticizes the coach than the media is criticized. The whole thing with Orr, it's like that's been coming from the chattering class, not the locker room. Mm-hmm. And Marlon would step up and defend him. I think it's tough to step up against one of your star players and say, no, he should have said that. You know, because then you create more division on the team.
Okay, well, what about former players who's not in the locker room with Michael Parsons? I think if John, one of these players, one of these coaches is criticized, even former players, there's a former player that would step up. Of course, if John Harbaugh, you would have Bernard Powell would come out and say, I told you, but everybody, there would be other guys.
That's a whole other story.
This is what Rex Ryan had to say about the situation.
He doesn't deserve that. Mike McCarthy, no coach deserves that because the hours, trust me, my friend, the hours this guy's putting in, no player is putting in the work that a head coach is, I can assure you. And look, you can have some private issue, all right? Go to the owner, go to whoever, go to Mike McCarthy. But why the hell do you think you need to say that? That why do you need to hurt this man? Who do you think is blamed for everything? He gets it anyway. And so why are you piling on? All right, yeah, dead man walking. Yeah, he is. But you know what? He's professional as hell. He hadn't once blamed a damn player, ever. It's bullshit.
And that's Rex Ryan. Again, Rex Ryan defending the coach because Rex Ryan's a coach. I stand with my question, Jeremy Kahn. Where's a player, past or present, who's defended Mike McCarthy?
I didn't even see any of the McCarthy family set up and defend Mike McCarthy. Look, Mike McCarthy should have been let go last year.
Yeah, he should have.
And now I think Jerry Jones is realizing that. The whole team's a dead man walking. There's nothing left for this season for him. Everything is just kind of done, and you're going to see players making business decisions and going through the motions the rest of the way. It's just what's going to happen. You know, like
Jerry Jones is making a business decision. He needs to do something. Seriously. He's destroying a once proud franchise.
He destroyed it. He did. It's donezo, man.
It's a tough watch, man. They haven't been legitimate in years.
So when they get in the huddle and they put their hands up, and they go on three. Where are they going?
Cancun.
There you go.
Yes.
Cancun on three. Yep.
Coach, you coming to Cancun too? Oh, okay.
Again, I'm not defending Michael Parsons. I'm not saying he was right. I'm not. We can all wax poetically on what we thought about what he said.
Man,
My only question is, where's the player, past or present, who's defending Mike McCarthy?
See, my thing was, I kind of felt like I was with him until that last part, and I felt like, I don't know if you remember this, Chris Farley on Saturday Night Live, when he found out that they didn't give him Folgers, they gave him decaffeinated coffee, and he's like, what the hell is going on? And he loses his mind. That's kind of where I was like, you can't say that, man. Like, I want players to be honest, and I want them to feel comfortable being honest.
I want them to be professional, though.
Yes.
He was honest. Initially, he was honest. Then he went unprofessional.
Because the work that the players put in is totally different than the work that the coach has put in.
And I guess Rex Ryan, he says some crazy things. That was the most measured spot on thing he's ever said in recent memory. But the coaches put in tremendous hours. Players don't work nearly as hard as coaches in that way, as far as hours put in that building. It's just a fact. And McCarthy may not be a good coach. I'm not a big fan. But they work hard.
You thought that was more measured from Rex Ryan than when he said, come on, baby, put all those piggies in my mouth.
Yes.
Give me all your piggies. No?
What's wrong with that?
It's gross. Feet are awful, man.
Feet are not awful.
Feet are gross.
Stop. Feet are not awful.
Gross.
You're gross.
I am, but feet are grosser.
I feel bad for you.
Gross.
You're not enjoying the finer things in life.
Yeah, exactly.
You got, athlete's foot on your tongues is what you two cats have.
And loving it.
Yeah. Yeah. Think about where else you put that thing. Feet are the least of your worries.
Love me some athlete feet tongue.
You mean there's other things in there that we should be worried about?
Yes.
Yeah. Which side?
Hey, look, we're talking football. I'm going to bring it local for a second. I know we don't talk youth football too much, but this is a personal friend of mine. My son, Dallas, Pikesville 10U. They called him the Billionaires Boys football team. They won their fourth consecutive championship. Listen, in 4 years, they went 39-1. Wow. And only giving up, you know how many total points they gave up in 4 years? 24.
Get out of here.
39-1.
In years?
In the 4 years, they gave up 24. 39-1. I know Dallas went very well. His sister, Dania, played high school basketball for me. His dad and his brother played at Mervo, both running backs. No, his dad, I'm sorry, played at Patterson. I don't think his mom was athletic at all. I'm going to get smacked for saying that, but I don't think she was athletic. You got something over there for us, Joe? 410-583-1057 is the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Kim McCusick joins us at 8 o'clock, but we're going to talk some Orioles baseball. The O's reportedly are in on Max Friedman and Teoscar Hernandez. Is this the caliber of player you expected them to target? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. 7:47 in the AM program. Reminder, Orioles General Manager Mike Elias will join us this morning at 8:30 as the Birds are rumored in a lot of deals, several deals right now. But right now we're talking Max Fried being one of them, Teoscar Hernandez another. Ed Norris, is this the caliber of player that you expected the Orioles to go after?
Yeah, I think it's a new day. I really do. I believe they're going to go after players of this caliber. Hey, look, if you would have told me last year they would have picked up Corbin Burns, I would have never believed that in the past. I mean, it's a premier player. And they got him, you know? So, I mean, I think it's a new day for this team, and I think they're going to spend some money.
So, I mean, I like the idea of a lot of the things they're talking about. Mm-hmm. For example, if you did move on from Burns and Santander and Kowser wins Rookie of the Year, all these picks that you're going to have, and now it's not just, hey, we're losing them getting picks, but I expect them to go out and sign other players if they don't get them. So I think it's a juggle between, do we kick two tires on these other pitchers and try to bring mm-hmm. in those arms? And there are some people that talked about it, like with guys that are coming off of injuries or had Tommy John surgery. Do you want to try to go after a Max Fried? I think Max Fried's perfect for here. Mm-hmm. He's just got to stay healthy. Having a lefty that's a superior ground ball pitcher and can get K's, would love him in this spot. But I think they're going to tweak a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. The Teoscar thing interests me. But remember, he played the field most of last year because mm-hmm. of Shohei Ohtani DHing.
Right.
I'm wondering if they sign him, if that's the end of Santander. I would assume that because, again, I can't assume the DH thing, that he's going to be your full-time DH because of Adley and if Basayo comes up.
I think what you're looking at is this. Although he's only 2 years older than Santander, Santander hadn't been paid at all. Let's be honest. He hadn't been paid. Teoscar Hernandez.
He's an established vet.
He's made $53 million in this game. I think he's a guy that you could probably sign to maybe a three-year deal. At the age of 32, you can get away with that. And if one of these guys in your system, if they grow up during that time, you're good to go. You only have a year or two remaining to eat that contract. And if he's productive, Ed, you're not really eating that contract. You're not getting mm-hmm. away with signing Santander to 3 years while somebody grows up at the age of 30. No. He has not been paid yet.
No, it's, and look, we all want him to be here, obviously. I'd hate to see him playing somewhere else. But you got to pay the man.
Yeah.
And now you're talking about a premier, you know, power hitting switch hitter, which is, I don't know how many you have in this game, you know, a power hitting switch hitter like him with a rifle for an arm, plays a great right field. He's really valuable and a great team leader. So, I mean, I think he's just valuable. What's kind of fun, though, you asked, you know, back to your original question about do you think they'll do, you know, X, Y, and Z? I'm like, just the fact that they're talking, like, when you look at the free agency stuff now that people are talking about, it's like, you know, it's Alex Bregman, Pete Alonso, Corbin Burns. How many times is an Oriole? Like,
never.
Yeah.
Multiple.
Never. Yeah, multiple.
Right. Yeah,
now you got Santander. We have Corbin Burns. You're talking about guys that are sought after by other teams. That has not been the case
yet. Now they've rumored also Jeremy to be in on the international kid, the pitcher.
Yeah,
the
Japanese pitcher. Sasaka, I believe his name is. You know, the Dodgers have more international money than the Orioles.
Orioles are two, though.
Yeah, and I think you know there's a lot of people that believe a lot of the international players, especially in Japan, Korea, so on, that they like playing on the West Coast to be closer to home.
Yeah.
So maybe there's something there, but we'll just have to wait and see. By the way, did you guys...
Sasaki.
I thought, what'd I say? Sasaka.
Yeah.
Did you guys see that Corbin Burns didn't finish in the top three in Cy Young?
Yeah.
Did that surprise you at all?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, Class A, everybody was bringing him up, and it's kind of like a cliche thing.
Hey, he might win it.
He could, but I think it's Tark Skubal's to lose. Okay. He was so good. But I just can't believe Seth Lugo's in there over Corbin Burns. Lugo had a nice season, but I don't think it was close.
I was shocked, actually. Yeah. Seriously, that he was like not even considered. I'm like, come on, man.
Is there somebody you guys covet that you'd like to see them go after, whether it's keeping someone in-house of those
Max
two?
Fried.
Yeah.
Pitching, man.
I think that's at the top of my list. Well, you brought up two. There's another one that you like, and I don't know if it's at the top of your list or not. Bregman.
Bregman. I want Alex Bregman.
Bregman said he'd play second base
already.
I
think there's a reason he said. I think that's deliberate.
And there's ties to Mike Elias with Houston and everything else.
Jordan Westberg is better at third. Gunnar Henderson's playing shortstop. I think Alex Bregman put that out there deliberately. Like, hey, you know, I'm willing to play second.
So where's Jackson Holliday playing if they sign him?
I'm willing to play second. I don't know. I mean... Those are first world problems.
Well, these
man.
Are fun things to talk about, but like ultimately, there are people that are going, you got to sign this guy, sign that guy. When you have a lot of talent that's here, you have to give it time to establish itself.
Yeah, you do, but why to establish themselves? You know the best way to give them time to establish themselves? Put somebody in front of them. High tide raises all ships, man.
I mean, I get that, but they've already done enough at the minor league levels. They have to show it here. They got to play here to show you they can or can't play.
I think they can play, but what I don't want them doing is playing every day while they're finding themselves.
There's certain guys that can, though. Like Colton Cowser became one of those guys that became an everyday player. And I think Jackson Holliday is 100% that guy. I think Masayo is that guy.
Yeah.
I think these are guys that you put in your lineup almost on an everyday basis.
Anybody have a problem with a relief pitcher being named ahead of Corbin Burns?
Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying.
Class A is amazing.
Until he got to the postseason and he was awful.
Yeah, but he's still a closer. Yeah. I mean, it's great, but to me, it's not the same.
Again, like, they have their award. I hate when they do this. They have their, like, Rolaids Relief Pitcher of the Year award or whatever the hell it's called.
It's like trying to give a wide receiver a running back MVP. That's the quarterback's award.
That's dumb. Stupid. You know what? The fact that these cats can't win.
There we go. Yeah,
they can't be the most valuable player. They can't have the greatest season ever at their position. Get the hell out of here, quarterbacks. They can kiss my ass. All you quarterbacks. MVP. If I don't get open, you ain't got nobody to throw the ball to, you jackass.
Yeah, but if I decide not to throw you the ball, you don't get receptions, jackass.
Let's yeah, if the offensive line doesn't block for you, you get sacked, jackass. Sorry. Anyway.
Let's go to Antonio and Rosedale. What's up, Antonio?
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How you guys doing?
Good.
Well, happy Taco Tuesday, guys.
Happy Taco Tuesday.
Will Jackson, James McCann. Be an Oriole next season, and you guys have a wonderful day.
You have a wonderful day, too, and as much as I'd like them to, I don't know where you put them.
I'm saying no. Because like, the
thing they bring Masayo up.
They have to – well, there's also – we don't – Basayo's clock, does that matter when he comes up? Mm-hmm. Again, calling Basayo up gives you another opportunity to get Rookie of the Year again next year. He's a switch-hitting, power-hitting catcher that plays good defense, plus defense, and on top of it – again, you're going to DH one or the other with he and Adley if he doesn't get caught up.
You know the great thing also about signing Alex Bregman?
What?
He's played 129 games at shortstop, too, in his major league career.
Well, he came up as a shortstop.
Yeah. Yeah, he's played 9 games at second base. So he's like...
He moved because of Carlos Correa,
right? He could be your Urias.
Yeah.
Only play every day.
I mean, there's the possibility.
Think about it. He can play everywhere. He can play his third, second, short DH.
He's the new meat. I play third, I play everywhere. Anywhere you want to play. New meat. Except he should bring his glove to the ballpark.
Mike Elias, Orioles GM, joins us at 8:30. Don't go anywhere. You don't want to miss that.
What kind of accent was that?
That's you don't remember Wilson Bedemy when he was here?
Yeah.
And he said, what position do you like to play? He said, I play first, I play third, I play anywhere they want me to play.
Kim McKusick, filmstudybaltimore.com, joins us in studio up next.
Jewish.
Hey, what is Ken write about?
Huh?
What is Ken write about?
What? Everything? Yeah. Oh, the Raven, the offense, the defense.
We'll be back up
next. Special teams.
I'm so glad you're doing this because I get...
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.